You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Hi, I'm Kim Salmon. I'd like to have a quick word about public radio, particularly 3CR. The thing about public radio is that it's more open than the more formatted types of radio to what's going on around it. So when you listen to it, you're more likely to hear a reflection of real life. And 3CR, being in the heart of Smith Street, Collingwood, is a particularly good example of what I'm talking about. If you'd like to subscribe, the number is 94198377.
You've been listening.
Cities have the capability of providing something for everybody, only because and only when they are created by everybody. That's from Jane Jacobs.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been, and we know.
Time, we've got half an hour to work it out. We are not little children and we know what we want. We want safer cycling corridors and we want it now. Woo, there we go. He fired up this morning. I'm sick of waiting. I've been waiting too long. This pace is too slow. You're listening to the Yarrabug Radio Show here on Radical Radio 3CR. Podcasting, streaming, or actually listening on that old AWA transistor in the kitchen, we're coming to you live from the Paris end of Smith Street at 3CR. Many thanks to Amy Goodman, wasn't on Democracy Now!, so Noaine Schafe, and good to hear Robert Raich speaking on Democracy Now! As well. We've got our favoured guest here this morning, of course, which would be good fun. So we've got a bit of a show, and we've got a bit of a show about how do you just keep up the relentless pressure on the decision makers who are deciding how our cities work, whether they work for us or they work for somebody else? Faith, we're on the triple today. We're riding along peacefully. Yes?
Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry. Alison, good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Val and Faith.
The pleasure, actually, because you're a big part of this, or the tip, part of the spear, the tip of the spear of all this as well. So we should actually start this a little bit. We've already started a bit lighthearted.
And fresh from a Euro summer on the bike.
Oh, there we go. We're going to slide into a bike moment already.
Yes.
Your bike moment, Alison, your
we'll
microphone.
Headline with the good one.
My head is full of bike moments. I've just come back from Europe and I could fill the next 10 shows with bike moments, from touring moments like riding around Lake Como, touring around to city infrastructure. Absolutely incredible. But Lee and I left, our last city was Milan. That's where we flew out of. So that, again, was just incredible. The last time I was in Europe was 3 years ago, and even the progress from 3 years ago to now is mind-blowing. 3 years ago, they're going, I can't believe these cities and how they've progressed.
Yeah.
But they've just kept moving forward. And and it's all about streets for people. And that was the feeling of the last bike ride in Milan. We were flying out, so I was like, we're carrying bikes. So I was like, oh, crap. We'll go right next to the train station and stay somewhere there because, you know, then you lug your bike bag on the train and off you go home. And Lee was a bit like, oh, but it's 4Ks out. And that's the point. We got there. We had an option. We had so many share bikes that we could just jump on.
Yeah.
And it was almost more fun staying 4Ks out because you just did everything by bike.
Yeah.
And it was just that feeling of knowing I'm coming back here, but freedom and the social contract that everyone has, you know, in these cities, particularly Europe, where you can just ride around and that's how you get around.
Yeah.
And everyone just works together on that. Even we went to the, you know, Duomo in the center.
Yeah.
And there's these, you know, beautiful laneways where people are walking. And Lee, who's quite, you know, he'll challenge most things in the world. And he's like, oh, I don't think we can ride down here. And I'm like, it's Italy. And sure enough, we rode down this fully packed, you know, alleyway down to that Duomo. And there's people from Milan riding down these little alleyways. No one was bothered.
Yeah.
You know, everyone was just working it through. And it was just such a fantastic feeling and a feeling of freedom and just the way things should be.
Well, hard to follow that up. Let me try and bring a bit of gravity to this.
I'm there.
You've still got jet lag. You've still got culture lag, actually. You're dreaming that the Paris end of Smith Street will actually be like Paris.
Traffic lights. You actually have the right of way even on traffic lights. And it flows beautifully.
You're right. We could have you on for a month or so. For a month. And we'd never touch it. I mean, part of this is a cultural aspect to it, irrespective of bike lanes. I mean, the big part of that is a lot of cities are competitive, I would say. Sydney runs on adrenaline and energy and quickness and speed, whereas a place like Milan has got the ability to kick back and take place a little bit slowly, a little bit gently. Hey, we'll have our coffee, we'll sit down and have our coffee. We won't grab a cup and walk along and drink coffee as we walk. Anyway, I've got to say, so let's get back to, we're back in Melbourne. We're on that cusp between winter and spring, which is a beautiful time of the year, where I didn't realise there are over 1,000 different wattles.
Mm.
1,000 of them. Think about the 1,070 or something. I'm doing my yesterday afternoon. What a classic crystalline afternoon yesterday was. And I'm doing my botanical gardens loop and stuff like that. And I'm riding home. I read a poem on here once we're celebrating Wattle Day. It's a lovely poem written in the 1860s called The Wattle Fiends. They had to stop people cutting down wattles for the blooms because they need the trees for the tanning industry. So I'm riding home and there's two people in front of me, the baskets in the back, all festooned with wattles. So it's like a run into the wattle fiends on a Sunday afternoon in 2026. I've lost count. I'm trying, obviously distinguishing features with some wattles. But God, there's a lot of them. Even in my neck of the woods, I reckon I'm up to about 20 different varieties already.
Oh, yeah. There's heaps in your neck of the woods. I was going to talk about the wattles too, riding home down the Yarra.
That's all right.
But mentioning the wattle fiends, because there was a big thing in the 1890s when people started cycling in Melbourne, and as they got further out, they started going out when the wattle came into flower and bringing back huge parts of trees. And the same thing caused this consternation about, are we destroying the wattle trees and there won't be any left? And so a lot of the cycling clubs were working on, like, trying to behaviour change, trying to get the cyclists to behave and not cut down all the wattle. But it was interesting then as motor cars, and because bikes could go further than people walking, and that the sphere of the wattle fiend had extended, and then motor cars came and suddenly it was cars going even further and bringing back reams of wattle. And Wattle Day was actually started to counteract all that destruction.
Wow.
Anyway, that was a little side tangent, but
It didn't work. Look at the wattle. They've come back bigger than ever. They're everywhere.
Yeah. I saw one yesterday.
You can buy one at Bunnings if you want.
But it's very nice along the Yarra and the creeks and rivers at the moment.
Yeah, all well planted out. And it is lovely, that sort of that end of fag end of winter and a little bit of colour and a blossom.
And they smell lovely.
In that subtle
kind of way.
Yeah, yeah. Especially with that, you know, that lovely tinge of clay you get from the Yarra. You know, that it's got the slightly, it smells a bit dirty, muddy like it looks.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we should move on. Any news?
Well, I think we have to mention, because it's very relevant to what Alison's going to be talking about.
Yep.
Infrastructure Victoria, the government has announced they're going to wind them up, something that was flagged in the Spicer, the Spicer recommendations, but wasn't going ahead, but Ben Carroll has decided they will, which is... You know, they're a really important independent organisation providing advice on infrastructure projects, and certainly the strategic cycling corridors have featured in most of their reports on the bigger picture.
They have, and that independence is really important, isn't it? Because it ensures that there is good research behind decision-making, and there's quite a large percentage of their 2021 strategy that was actually implemented, I think around 85% of the recommendations that Infrastructure Victoria recommended were actually taken on by government. So by taking away those independent bodies, it's a real risk, right, that really it's pushed on votes or perception of government where the votes lie. And it's a very dangerous situation because you often see that decisions are made in politics around large vocal minority groups, and it's not necessarily what the large body of people think and what's best for the community.
Yeah.
And we've seen that internationally coming back from Europe, right? You see in Paris that, you know, Anne Hidalgo, who made all of that incredible change, was told she would never be re-elected. You know, you will not be re-elected. She was, in fact, re-elected. And her successor was re-elected. And this is the truth. People want what's good for the community. So it's a real risk when you start taking away these independent bodies who are looking at what is best for the community. And as Faye said, fully support development and implementation of the strategic cycling corridor, which is what we're asking for now, and 30K streets. They were their two real key initiatives, particularly around bikes, and it'll be tragic to see them go.
And it was an avenue for communities, even individuals, organisations, to make presentations to those committees. You know, it was an open forum.
Mm.
You could stand up. I'm not sure if how many people remember the fight to get demerit points on opening a car door. All those people that gave submissions to that was the avenue to which they could give a submission. There is no other way to actually present those things.
And it provides some counterbalance, I think, when you think of how much influence lobbyists have for particular industries or communities. You know, there's having this independent voice helps provide some counterbalance to that.
Yeah, and it's researched and it's factual, so it takes away that, you know, kind of element of
And you're opening yourself up to other ideas from different people who haven't got a voice. They're not lobbyists, they can't afford that, but they've got a genuine voice in this thing. As Jane Jacobs was saying, people have got to have an input into designing the city. That's what makes them living. If they don't have it, we don't have an input, we're living in a strange world. Anyway,
so let's see the progression on that one. But I think the other parties have certainly said if they're voted in that they will keep them.
Yeah.
So let's hope that you know, this is not the outcome.
Interesting.
It's going to take legislation. And that will take a couple of months.
That's right.
So hopefully
there's time there.
Since we're talking about this, just a heads up thing. Yarra Council are running, they sort of look like an American-style town hall meeting. So they're getting all the candidates for the state government seats that are in the city of Yarra, and they're having an open forum, You'll find it on the Yarra Council website. So there's the Yarra Council are setting these up. They've got no input into, you know, what happened, but all the candidates will be there. So just a heads up, the Richmond Forum is on this week on a Wednesday, and then for the seats of Richmond, Brunswick and Northcote, that's on Wednesday the 14th. But you'll find that on the Yarra Council website, and that's an opportunity to actually meet or hear the candidates standard in those seats for the forthcoming election.
Yep. And there will actually be lots of opportunities to do that because, as Ali's about to tell us, the Gimme 5 Roadshow is starting this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And coming back from Europe, I mean, 5% is not even nearly a scratch of enough money. But, you know, now is such an important time. My gosh, I was away. I came back. There's a new premier. There's, oh my God, what's happened? So it's really time. And it's time for us to get our voices to the candidates. Mm. And so Gimme 5, I hope everyone is across Gimme 5 by now. It's a collective campaign of about 50 different groups now. We're in it together. It's about getting 5% of the transport budget to deliver this strategic cycling corridor and get it done. But we need to have our voices out there. So if you have not gone onto the website, gimme5.org, please get on there, sign up. It's really easy to write to your local MP as well. You need to get your voice heard. And the news is we're going on a roadshow. So we're going to go throughout the states to get in front of all of the candidates, do whatever we can to push this message to ask for 5% of the transport budget. Now is the time for us to come out and ask for this change.
And build that voice.
Exactly.
I think one interesting thing, I know, for example, just in like for Marybeck, if you talk to candidates and even sitting MPs, you know, of a government who aren't doing much, a lot of those MPs are saying, well, they personally support it.
Yeah.
But they're not getting any traction with their own sort of government. So getting that, giving the community that opportunity to bring their voices to them is really important. And
it really is. And having, you know, their constituents come to them and say, listen, this is what we want in our community. We want to have a choice to get around how we choose. And part of that is providing the transport choices. And that's what we don't have, particularly by not having the strategic corridor fully implemented. And that makes a big difference. So don't underestimate your own impact or your community group's impact that actually has on these candidates and sitting MPs, because if they know that their community want it, then that voice collectively, all MPs coming back to Parliament and saying, oh, yeah, I had my people asking for this 5% of the budget, and an MP from Bendigo, which we'll be going to, you know, in the following week, says the same thing. It's like, oh, this is actually really important and this is what people want.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's time for us to have those conversations and the stories, because it's not about bikes. And recently Marco de Bromlestad came and spoke at Bicycle Network, and the message is so important. It's about the health of our communities. It's about the environment. It's about our kids getting on a bike, you know, the social connection. And, yes, bikes, one of the vehicles to do that, but let's talk about the importance of that to our MPs and why it's so important that we get this done.
Alison, just how much do you reckon, this is obviously very hard because it's split between local governments and state governments, what a percentage of our transport budget do you think we spend in Victoria at the moment? It's got to be pretty small, isn't it?
Val, it is minuscule. Like, you can't even, at the moment, really, the winds are coming off those major transport projects, right? So we spend billions upon billions upon billions.
That's my point.
For, you know, the tunnel project, the East Link that's going on at the moment. And we get some A-grade infrastructure off the side of that, right? Thinking about the Veloway.
Oh, yeah.
but it's only as good as far as the project goes.
Yeah.
And it is so incredible. But then if you want to now go from the Velo Way to the actual station in Footscray, there's 2 kilometres that you simply can't get there. And it's such a small link, right? Mm. So it's just this notion that apart from that, because they're like, oh, we should do some bike stuff, there's really no money, Val. No. You know, we've seen
seen
the federal government implement the Active Transport Fund, which is great. You know, a great initiative. We've been fighting for that for a long time collectively across Australia, all the different groups. And it's wonderful. Don't get me wrong. It's a 10-year commitment of $500 million, but it's not. It's a scratch in the ocean.
Yeah.
And now we need to make that 10 times more.
Yeah.
But the state government, we don't have an active travel budget line.
We don't actually have a vision. You know, we don't.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's interesting. You know, so which is the city in, I'm trying to remember, who said, we're going to have no road deaths in the city.
Yeah. Mm.
That is our goal. Not, you know, bring the toll down. No. Zero is our
acceptable. There is a zero. TAC is a zero.
And they made it.
Yeah.
They got there because their vision was that goal. That's what they said
Helsinki?
They would do. Yes, it was correct.
And that's right. And how they get there is by having transport choice and connectivity on those transport choices. And the reality is, and this comes back to, we've accepted that by having a car comes with death. And that sounds very dramatic, but it's true.
It's true. Those TAC ads were very good at demonstrating that while it was an abstract idea, when they asked people to what would be an acceptable toll, one questioned that there should be a toll. And it was only when they said 50 people a year or 20.
Yeah.
It was only when those people walked around and it was their actual family that they kind of went, you know, but there is that assumption that it's okay to have a road toll.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, really.
It's interesting. Marco C highlighted that. I'm going to talk about the road toll. I'm going to talk about how many children motorists killed this year. Just focus on that.
Yeah.
You know, there are 68 children we killed last year, you know.
Well, if you have a child, it's the number one killer.
And, yes.
You know, people are, you know, worried about all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But it's, and even if you say to someone, oh, have you thought about riding to school or to there? And people are, well, I'm not sure if it's safe. But they will put their child in a car without questioning
it,
even though that is the most likely way your child will die in Australia.
When you put it in those terms, it's just ridiculous. And that comes back to this whole conversation. I heard something crazy on the radio while I was away back here, and it's like, hang on. Roads are not for cars. Roads are for people. It's public space, and we just need to go above that and say that every single time. It's public space. So back to the budget. We need it. we need it.
Look, back to the budget. Somebody, and you've just touched on it just before, somebody at a work colleague, we're sitting having lunch, and, you know, Jed's probably, anyway, sort of mid-40s, been involved in a lot of things over years, and he expressed that, which you hear oftentimes, he says, oh, just nothing ever happens. You know, we always go on about this, but then nothing ever changes. And it's interesting, I sort of said to him, look, it does change, and it's important that when you think that my voice doesn't matter, when I say your one voice might have been the voice that tipped your local politician over the edge and said, well, I've had enough emails about this, I need to take notice. So it's like a dripping, not a dripping tap, but that just dropping on a rock just slowly wears away at it, like the squeaky wheels just there in the background all the time, slowly ticking over and slowly getting change happening.
And what it does do is it encourages the other people around you to say something. Like most people won't contact their MP and tell them what they want. And they, when they get those emails that say, have you taken part in this campaign or done this, they think, oh, well, everyone else is doing it, I don't have to. But when you say, oh, I did it, then someone you know is more likely to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the danger of when we sit around saying, well, what's the point?
Mm.
Because yeah. then everyone around you thinks, who might have been about to do it, thinks, oh, maybe I won't. And this is the power of Bicycle Network, getting all these people together for all these rides and community events.
Yeah.
That those are people who might not have been about to do that, but getting people together helps them feel they can.
100%.
And it's a bit of an opportunity now, because people are rightfully discontented with the major parties, and politicians understand if they want to get re-elected, they've actually got to demonstrate to their electorate that they're actually listening to them. And the way they do that is by putting forward things. So I think local MPs are going to be a lot more answerable to their own electorates, even just to get re-elected. Won't be just saying, oh, look, it's a safe Labor seat, I'm going to get back in. That doesn't happen. That's not true anymore.
No.
You know? And so people, you can have an influence on people, and politicians are learning to listen to people, which will make for change. Anyway, prayers and wishes.
Meetings, and we don't need prayers and wishes.
No, yeah.
We've got meetings and community.
Exactly.
And,
and we just need the community to speak out. So what we would love everybody to do is, first of all, if you haven't written to your MP to say you want 5% of the transport budget for the strategic cycling corridor, please just spend 2 minutes to do it. It's easily found on the website, gimme5.org. Just go there and you will find an electorate map that you can click on. You type your own address in and you can send an email to your MP. It comes from your own email address. The website's really cool, set up from an incredible volunteer, Vince. So please, A, do that. B, we would love for you to get involved in the community roadshow. We're travelling around. It started last week with a meeting about the Hawthorne to Box Hill Trail, which is one of the strategic cycling corridors. This week we've got the MTF Forum in the Box Hill electorate, so anyone there, please come along, because that's the road and road safety minister's electorate, so really important stuff. We've invited all the candidates, so it's really fantastic stuff. So please come and show your support, just to say Victorians want healthy communities. Then we're heading to, I'm going to go through a really quick list just in case the listeners Geelong, Bellarine, Windaree, Benambra, Ovens Valley, Polworth, Nidri, Essendon, Brunswick, Pascoe Vale, Melbourne, Preston, Albert Park, Caulfield, just to name a few electorates. So please get on the website. If this just a bit of fire in your belly, get other people to come along. We need you just to show your support. And if you want to try and help us get involved, volunteer, we'd love your time. To get people to sign up, just email the group, which is Bugs, yep, BUGS at bicyclenetwork.com.au. And just a thank you to everybody and all of these groups and Faith, you know, just incredible work, and just so super proud and excited about this campaign.
There we go. Let's make it happen.
I had to get my spruik in. Sorry about that.
Hey, listen. No. I don't. I'm going to give a special shout out. Everybody's noticed a greater proportion of people riding bikes, mums with one or two kids, young dads with one or two kids, or the more mature baby boomers who can still get a leg over a bike and riding their electric bikes everywhere. You're in a powerful position here to make representation, because you're not actually what the age would call a normal subhuman cyclist. So you actually, you need to actually bend your back about this, because those cycling corridors that you're riding on now need you to keep going. And you're a new demographic into this cycling group. You need to be a bit more vocal, I would think. Any other call to arms, Faith?
No, I think you've covered it.
With that,
that's all we have time for today.
It is. And next up is, I'm not 100% sure, it is, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm sure
it'll be a fun. Surprise, yeah. A really good surprise.
Yeah. Good surprise.
Sit on your bike, sit on the seat, put your feet on the pedal, and ride it all around, ride it all around. Get on your bike, sit on the seat, put your feet on the pedal, and ride it all around, ride it all around.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.